It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into an emergency podcast here on the Sports Objective. I am Dave Richmond along with Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba, what's up, buddy?
I'm just sitting here watching App State. They're struggling right now big time. They lost their starting quarterback, Zach Thomas, early in the ball game, and also their second leading tackler, Jordan Fear. So, yeah, they're trailing Georgia Southern as we speak, 27-7 with a minute left in the third quarter.
Well, certainly it's interesting times for all of us. Really big news day when it comes to East Carolina University, ECU. And let's see. So I started off my day, and I went to the media day, and for Joe Dooley and basketball, we'll be talking about that. Let's see. Then we had a breaking news in the 4 o'clock hour for Thursday, if you're wondering when this happened, that there was going to be an ECU AD search committee. In fact, Bubba, you told me that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I was my son had a baseball game tonight, and I was getting Riley ready for his ball game, and I was on social media, and I saw a tweet from 94.3 The Game, and then also Steve and I go shortly thereafter, and it was talking about how a 13-member search committee has been announced by Chancellor Cecil Staton, and he and Dave Hart will co-chair the committee. And if you want to, here in a minute, and so we can go through that committee and who some of the 13 members or who each of the 13 members are.
All right, I was going to say that our good friend Kyle from LaGrange, don't worry, he hasn't been fired. He didn't quit. He's not on suspension. He's actually in the process of moving from one house to another. So if you heard our last podcast, I was joking about him being a professional mover now. But anyway, he's going to join us when he can. So we thought we'd go ahead and start the emergency podcast, and he'll give his two cents or maybe a whole dollar or two worth of how he feels. But I think, Bubba, what we should do is let's talk out of the gate. Let's talk about, well, actually, before we get into AD situation, we've got two great guests tonight, right? Let's promote them, and then we'll move on to that.
Yeah, we do. Our first guest is a linebacker from the 1991 team, and no, I'm not talking about Robert Jones. Of course, everyone knows about Robert Jones, and rightfully so, with the career he had at ECU, and he should have won the Buckus Award that season. But another excellent linebacker on that team, and if you listen to our previous podcast with George Koontz, who played in 89 and 90, he played with this guy, and he referenced him in his remarks about that era. And we're talking about Ken Burnett. I had the opportunity when I was, I guess, 9 years old during the summer of 1990. My family and I were down at Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle to be exact, and we ran into Ken Burnett and his parents. And so we had on our East Carolina stuff, of course, as we always do, and crossed paths with them on the beach and got to talking Pirate football. And Ken said, just a tremendously nice guy, and he said, told to my parents, he said, bring Bubba by the locker room this fall, and we'll be glad to show him around and let him meet some of the guys and that sort of thing. So after the season opener against La Tech, Pirates had won. We stopped by the locker room. He took me in. I was fortunate enough to be able to meet Jeff Blake. And then, as you can imagine, my nine-year-old self, I hadn't been in many locker rooms, so it was pretty eye-opening to see what you see in a football locker room. And
right.
Tom Scott, who we talked about on one of the recent podcasts, he was headed to the showers, and he turned around and looked at me. He said, "Hey, man," he said, "how do you like my little ass?" It was, it was pretty funny and something I obviously remember to this day. God bless Tom Scott, and hate that we lost him within the last few years.
Yeah.
When we talked about that with Zion Kumulai and what a great guy Tom Scott was and a tremendous offensive tackle. But we'll be talking with Ken, and then Also, later on, we'll be talking with Mark Wharton. He was, of course, formerly the executive director of the ECU Pirate Club. He's an ECU guy, and then he had moved on to Penn State and now is currently the director of athletics at UT Chattanooga.
That's right, and we'll definitely be talking to him. And by the way, folks, we actually have decided to we've already interviewed a few guys for the job, if you will, and AD. So we're going to put all those interviews up individually on social media, right, Bubba?
Right. We talked to Scott Weatherby from up at Eastern Michigan. Of course, was at ECU under Terry Holland and then moved on to Mississippi State before getting that AD job up in his home state of Michigan. And he's doing an excellent job up there with the Eagles, doing everything he can to help that football program continue to grow under Chris Creighton, as well as the athletics department as a whole. And then we also sat down with Jeff Barber, who did such an excellent job at Liberty, really brought that program along and positioned itself for its transition to the FBS in football, and then just built or was responsible for the fundraising that allowed to see the beautiful baseball, softball stadiums, indoor practice facility, and all those things built in Lynchburg. And now he's down at Charleston Southern as the director of athletics. And then, of course, on our most recent podcast, we had George Kuntz on, who has a background in athletics as well as university administration as well.
That's right. And then tonight we'll have, on this particular emergency podcast, we'll have Mark Wharton. So we'll have all those individually up one at a time, and we'll have that on our definitely on Facebook page, and I guess we can tweet those out as well, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we'll get them on all of our social media and let people hear those. Some excellent interviews. All of them are probably at least 15 to 20 minutes in length, and they reflect on their time at ECU and then also their experience outside of Greenville.
No doubt about it. We're very happy to have each and every one of you listening. In fact, before we get into the deep dive of the AD situation, let's remind folks that Bubba, between you and I, we can tag team this. You can like us on Facebook, and I know that Bubba, you do an excellent job of social media. We work really hard on that. You can also find us. We're on every place you can think of social media wise. We're on Twitter at esportsobj, and I know we're on Instagram as well, right, Bubba?
Yeah, on Instagram at the Sports Objective, and then that's what on YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Trying to improve our content there slowly but surely. But yeah, we're very active on social media, all those various platforms you mentioned.
We're on Tumblr, and we also have now, by the way, Kyle inspired this. I checked tonight and we started working on it. We even have a MySpace page.
Yeah, when you sent me that earlier when I was at Riley's baseball game, I figured that was just a joke,
I didn't think they had it, but they still have it, and so I thought it'd be fun to do a MySpace page. So we're gonna work on that and not put a lot of effort into it, but certainly it would be fun. And anyway, we have the we're everywhere that you love social media. You can keep up with us that way. Obviously, you can follow us certainly anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. If you're listening to this, it's a link. Then you can just download the podcast, subscribe, and tell everybody how great we are, and we'll love you for that too. For me personally, I wanted to mention about this whole thing. So this is where I'm coming from. I'll try to get my thoughts. I'm very tired, so acknowledge that. But that's why we're doing the emergency podcast. We normally would be way more prepared. Believe it or not, we are prepared for these podcasts. But for me personally, I was very upset with the fact that you have Joe Dooley, okay? You have one of the great things going on with your athletic program, correct?
No doubt about it.
And you have his big day. Now, for me personally, I was really upset that this news, I was like, what, literally, this is what I said, so I'll say it. What the hell? When you told me that, and I'm at work, I couldn't say that out loud. I just found it really crazy. And I know on social media and on hoistthecolors.net, people on message boards are just absolutely baffled, surprised, upset. But you can literally, you can imagine how the people are just really upset because they felt like the timing of this is terrible. You know, Bubba, you and I were talking about before this podcast, Tuesday is when they have the meeting that led to no decision being made. And it seems like, I will tell you what it seems like. It seems like that Chancellor Cecil Staton thought that they were going to get Dave, and then it just became apparent that they were not getting Dave and they had to move on. But Dave is actually going to help out with the search. And I know there's 13 members. Do you want to talk about the press release?
Yeah, that's what Actually, before I get to the press release, I was looking, and like you mentioned, as far as the timing of the thing, I couldn't agree more. It's something I had already thought about. I hadn't put it out there on social media, but just to give credit and also just to communicate some of the other opinions that are out there. Of course, Pirate Radio does a tremendous job, and Jonathan Ellerby, I guess, this evening about 6:30 put out a tweet that said, "Dear ECU Athletics, East Carolina, ECU Chancellor, why not have a press conference to announce this big decision some other day and take questions from the media? Why announce this on ECU Basketball Media Day and steal the headlines from our first-year coach, Jeff Compher, resigned 229 days ago?
I miss that, but Jonathan is always spot on. The Pirate Radio Troy, though, they're spot on with the end. It just, what it reeks of is, in fact, I tell you what happened. I don't know. You know how you don't know, but you know. What happened is they thought they were going to get Dave Hart. Then it became apparent that Dave Hart was not going to take the job. So they panicked and they rushed to do this. And I think it's terrible because, again, number one, let Joe Dooley have his day. And have the, what difference does a couple of days make? You can actually, if you listen to our podcast and you listen to these interviews we're going to put up on Facebook and on social media, tweet them out, wherever you get them on whatever your favorite platform is. The bottom line is we've got a lot of good. The people that we've interviewed just to do interviews, they are tremendous. And we're going to have a lot of great candidates. You don't have to take a 13-person committee or no offense to anybody on there, but it doesn't take a 13-person committee to find this person. I know folks on Hoist have put up, we'll give a shout out to our good friend Steve and Igo. They basically, this is just a, that's like political correctness, like they were saying, that we have all these different people. At the end of the day, it's going to be Dave Hart and Cecil Staton to make this decision, right?
Yeah, that's what, getting back, you know, what you said as far as the search committee being named, one of the chancellor's quotes that was in the press release, it said, "So we're very pleased with the progress Special Advisor Dave Hart has made in reviewing and advising us on areas of improvement needed to reach all of our goals in athletics. Because of those months of work, I believe the timing is now right to bring on board an AD who will lead Pirate Athletics into its next era. I remain very appreciative of the expertise and assistance that Dave has brought to our athletics department, and I look forward to his continuing support as we work to put this program on a track for long-term success."
So, doesn't that sound like somebody that, that's like if you and I had a competition and you win, that's what I finished second place, that's what I'm supposed to say, right? He's saying all the right things, and it lets you know that. And again, people are going, oh, why are they, you know, we're not being negative. I'm just being truthful about how I feel. And the fact I'm, once again, I don't know how much more Pirate Nation can take of being disappointed. I think that, am I mad? No. I think that this, what's happening is the right thing. I think there's just 2 months. I see this being at least 2 to 3 months later than it should have been, don't you? I mean, it should have been like July that we got this decision. And yeah. It's towards the end of, so that would be technically 3 months, so my bad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we don't know everything, but it's hard to imagine that the deep dive should have been drug out or taken this long, and that this committee couldn't have been formed sooner, and that Dave Hart, I mean, who knows exactly how it went down, but it seems like this end could have been reached, a lot sooner than it was. But do you want me to go ahead and go over who's on the 13-member search committee?
Yeah, I think what we should do is you go over the names, and then we'll kick it to Mark Wharton. We'll do that interview, but do the 13. Let's go through the list of who's on it, and then we'll play a potential candidate for the director of athletics.
Yeah, like I already mentioned, of course, you have Cecil Staton and then Dave Hart that are co-chairing the committee. Then you have Mark Copeland, who's a member of the ECU Board of Trustees and managing partner for Ernst & Young. You have Vern Davenport, a former ECU student athlete, current member of the ECU Board of Trustees, partner at NovaQuest Capital Management. Tim Martin, president of the ECU Educational Foundation, which is, of course, better known as the Pirate Club. You have Carl Rogers, former past president. Excuse me, I should just say past president of the Pirate Club. Cal Christian, professor of accounting in the College of Business and faculty athletic rep of the Pirate Club. Head baseball coach Cliff Godwin. Sarah Thorndike, who's vice chancellor for administration and finance. Jeff Popke, chair of the faculty and professor of geography in the College of Arts and Sciences. J.J. McClam, senior associate AD for internal operations, who is, of course, an ECU guy, has been at ECU for a long time with a brief stint mixed in between his two stints at ECU out at UNLV. You had Rosie Thompson, former student athlete, and then also basketball coach and senior women's administrator and senior associate AD, former senior associate AD. And then last but not least, Lakeisha Austin Forbes, who's associate provost for equity and diversity.
So there you go. And those are the 13 who helped make the decision, and the co-chairs of Dave Hart, Cecil Staton, the chancellor, and the special advisor to the chancellor, former AD for ECU. So that's the committee that will next thing. And let's say again, Jonathan Ellerbe is right. We were talking about on Pirate Radio that he tweeted out about they should have done like Terry Holland. You and I were talking about this too off the air before we did the podcast. It's just amazing that you've got to have that, I guess it's continuity is the correct way. In other words, you want to put out a press release that you're having a press conference for a major announcement, you know, like give some, like, don't give a lot of buzz what it's about. And then have Dave Hart do a press conference saying, hey, guys, this is what's going to happen. We're having this. Have Cecil Staton along with him. And they could have, talked about everything and what's going on. And this is what's happening. And, 13 members, and announce the members. And I would think that it would be nice to have a lot of those members, if they could, to be there. And, for me, that's where I am. I just felt like that's I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect, but it just seems like that would be the way to handle things, don't you think?
Yeah, there's certainly more than one way of doing things, but yeah, my preference would have been to have had a press conference and to really and just make sure everybody's on the same page and really put it out there instead of just a press release. And, a lot of times, and obviously Terry Holland was the AD, but when it came to a coaching search or critical issues and those really important issues with the fan base, he did that, whether it was whether it was like the announcement, the huge scheduling announcement, where we were announcing the multi-year deals with West Virginia, Virginia Tech, NC State, North Carolina, and UVA, or other things.
Well, and it comes to right now where they're. Let's see what goes on. I hope that they will at some point maybe have a press conference, but I guess they won't at this point. But I think that it's a shame. But again, let's get a good candidate in for AD, and it won't happen anymore, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of,
oh, I was just going to say, yeah, when you're in a position of leadership, obviously you're going to have to deal with and face adversity, and they've certainly faced their share of criticism in the recent months and years, but not wanting to speak in front of a microphone, if that is the case, then that's something that you, I don't know, it's kind of hard to accept and tough to understand.
Right.
It's certainly not easy, but that's what that transparency and just providing clarity and just utilizing good communication and getting everybody on the same page, and that's the best way to go, even though it's not the easy thing to do.
Right, and again, we'll keep, obviously the story will hopefully won't take a long time to come up with an AD. I'm hoping that, you know, sometime between now and actually, if you think about it, Bubba, Dave Hart's contract ends December 15th, correct?
Yep.
So it would seem to me that if that is the case, you would have a new AD in place before Christmas time, and Dave Hart rides off into the sunset back to Knoxville, and thank the world of him. But we'll keep our eyes on that. Let's talk now, though, Bubba. Introduce our first guest, because he was tremendous.
Yeah, so obviously we're talking about how we've had Scott Weatherby on, current AD at Eastern Michigan, and then Jeff Barber, former AD at Liberty, and then currently AD down at Charleston Southern University. That's what here several weeks ago we had the opportunity to sit down with Mark Wharton. And he's, of course, the current AD at Chattanooga FCS school, and Division I program, of course, the Mocs out in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I think our fans are really going to enjoy this interview with Mark Wharton.
ECU grad, and, of course, worked at the Pirate Club, went to Penn State, and obviously now with the Mocs. So let's go to that interview with Mark Wharton. Let's do that now. Here on the Sports Objective Podcast, very pleased to have a very special guest with us, Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics for the Chattanooga Mocs, Mark Wharton. Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on with us.
It's my pleasure. It's an honor, actually.
Absolutely. We wanted to have you on. I know that you spent time in East Carolina. We want to talk about now. We'll talk about that later. We're very happy for you, and I know that in August, almost a year ago, you got the job as the Director of Athletics and Vice Chancellor at Chattanooga, and we wanted to find out how things are going and how has it been a year as Director of Athletics. I know you have to be thrilled to be there at Chattanooga.
I am thrilled. I mean, I followed Chattanooga from back when I was in graduate school at University of Tennessee, and, you know, they've had great traditions of success, and one of my dear friends is Mac McCarthy, who's still there in Greenville, and had a great coaching run here and had great success. And when the process started about a year ago, and I got reached out to about possibly, you know, looking at the position, the more and more I dug into it, you know, the promise and the way this university continues to grow as well as the city, you know, it's a huge honor to be here and feel like great success is about to happen.
I know that I love your I love definitely the mascot, the Mocs, and for sure. I wanted to ask you, as far as being there on the job, what have you learned being now a Director of Athletics and Vice Chancellor, and also what do you see for the future of the program?
Well, you know, growing up in this business, I was mainly in development, you know, my time at the Pirate Club, and In development, you don't have the opportunity to spend as much time with the student athletes, although, you know, your why of why you raise money is for them, but you're not day-to-day, you know, interacting with them from recruiting to just, you know, the day-to-day stuff. And had a little opportunity to get more involved in that at Penn State, but, you know, that was the biggest change and transition is seeing these young men and women every day and being more involved with the coaching staff. And I made my first hire this summer as a women's basketball coach and in the middle of hiring a wrestling coach. So that's all been interesting, growing opportunities. But it's been great. I'm surrounded by a bunch of great people, you know, in the athletic department that I inherited, able to hire a few other people that I have relationships with outside of Chattanooga to come and be a part of our team. And it's been, I've learned a tremendous amount. It's a lot of time, but, you know, it's been a wonderful opportunity. We have great opportunity ahead of us to raise a bunch of money and continue to build on what they've done in the past. And I, like I said earlier, from our football program to all our programs, all we're going to do is get better. We have great people that are great young professionals and coaches that do it for the right reasons, not only to win a bunch of games, but to develop our students to walk across the stage and be prepared to you know, go out in the workforce and be productive citizens.
And that's the main thing. And the beautiful part of I remember about college is it's like a bridge. You go from being a boy or a young man to really like a man, because that's when you have to, oh my God, I got to start paying the light bill and the cable bill and all that. And I know that's been the beauty of you've been around the business for a number of years, seeing those kids go from coming in and you're green as a freshman to all of a sudden, hopefully by the time you're a senior, you get to be a leader, right?
Absolutely. You know, and the other thing we always talk about, and it's not a Chattanooga thing, it's a college thing, is you're dealing with 18 to 22 year olds. It's the most unpredictable age in our, you know, in our lifetime, from, you know, mom and dad doing a majority of things to you to now you have a responsibility and time management and, you know, have to, you know, be places on time. And, you know, it's a day-to-day thing trying to reinforce, you know, those priorities and how it's going to help, you know, young men and women, you know, progress in their careers.
I wanted to ask, as far as the facilities there in Chattanooga in the eastern part of Tennessee, what could fans expect? Or maybe the people like myself, I haven't been to the university yet. That's a get-to for me. Can you tell us a little bit about the campus and about your facilities athletically as well?
Well, our campus, we're set an all-time enrollment mark. We're over 12,000 students on our campus. I say, you know, often that our bones of our facility are really, really good for this level. When they were built, they were really, really nice. Not a lot's been done, which, again, is an opportunity and fundraising to be able to bring those facilities up to a major level. We play in a city football stadium, which is about 20,000, a little over 20,000, which is really, really, really nice. And the growing part of the city, a lot of entertainment opportunities around the stadium. So it really draws a lot of people to our games, which they can leave there and go to a microbrew or a great restaurant. We have a great opportunity here. You know, our practice facility is right on the Tennessee River. It's beautiful to go down and watch practice and see the boats go by. And it's just, you know, everything is right here on our campus, and a great opportunity. We just built a brand new 6-court tennis stadium, which is rivals some of the bigger programs in the country. So it's great. We have a great recipe to have great success.
As far as the future, I know that a lot of times you're a tremendous fundraiser. Everybody that knows you from Greenville knows that, being the head of the Pirate Club. What's next for you and the program? Do you have? I know a lot of, if you are director of athletics, you certainly are someone that's very visionary. What do you see next for the Mucks?
I get asked a lot about will we ever be in position to be able to the Sun Belt or Conference USA realigned, that we'd get in the conversation. We got a lot of work to do. I believe in a city like Chattanooga in the Southern Conference that we should be able to win the conference every year in all our sports. We're not there yet, but you know, from the, a competitive perspective as well as a budget perspective. We've got some work to do, and in just a short year, we've been able to attack that and make a big difference as far as our resources, basically putting the foundation in place. And it's quite frankly, it's a lot of the things I learned in my two stops and at the Pirate Club about the grassroots and getting volunteers to help. And we're starting to see the direct result of those efforts, and it's exciting. You know, in 2 or 3 years, I think we'll have what we need, and we never have enough, but we'll have what we need to be able to right size what we're doing for budgets, recruiting, travel, and be extremely competitive.
You're talking about the with the mocks, with the sports. How many sports do you have there at the university right now?
We have 16 sports. We're unique. We're the southernmost university in the country that has wrestling. Because we have wrestling, we do not have baseball, which is another opportunity for us. You know, we own a baseball stadium without a baseball team, and looking at opportunities to possibly move our football program there or do something unique with that facility. But you know, we're right where we need to be. We're gonna add women's beach volleyball, probably make an announcement this fall to be able to play in the following year, and help our Title IX and our participation. So excited about that opportunity. It's obviously a unique sport.
Well, one of my broadcast partners, Kyle, is a huge volleyball fan, so I know that he'll definitely love that you're doing that. That's unique. Is that something that a new trend as far as around the country, or is that just unique to Chattanooga?
It's unique around the country. The last 4 or 5 years, a lot of programs have started it. You know, UAB, Mercer, Coastal Carolina, which is in the backyard, you know, UNC Wilmington. So we have opportunities, you know, to partner with them. There's not a conference in the country that has all their programs that field that sport, but we're really working to find an opportunity, find a home with some competitive playing, and it's just exciting. We have a beautiful new facility that will be arguably one of the best in the country. So we're excited. We've got to start small and then, you know, build it to, again, you know, put it at a championship level.
I know that's one of the things that my mind went when you said beach volleyball to California, and I was thinking, even though I'm not an athletic director, director of athletics, I was like, oh my gosh, the travel schedule, the money. But that's great. I didn't know that. I learned something today with you. I didn't know that was a big trend. I haven't heard that, but that's awesome. In fact, that's something maybe the Pirates or different other schools could add that would be another partner for you, right, to play, which will be closer to home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love that.
As far as when you're talking about fundraising, I wanted to ask you, when you were talking about grassroots, and I know you've had your background, where do you think, I know it's not an easy task. It's very hard. If I participate in campaigns, it's my last thing that I like to do. Fundraising is not very easy for me. for sure, I'll stick to broadcasting in my lane. But where do you start with a situation like if you have the Pirate Club, the guy I know with you now with the Mocs, what would you say to folks listening right now, like to give to their university? I know you want them to give to obviously the Mocs, but where do you start? How do you get started with, I guess, like an educational foundation or the grassroots, so to speak?
Well, you know, we have a great story here as well as, you know, East Carolina, but, you know, developing a case of support is why, what investment are you, you know, bringing to the table when you donate to our program? And we first and foremost have 300 student athletes, you know, that we are great academically in the classroom. We have over 3.0s, you know, total of our student athlete population. Plus, where do we want to go? I mean, are we happy doing what we're doing, you know, where we are? Again, the same case of support for East Carolina. There's a huge tradition, aspiration at ECU to be great in the American, and that's the same thing here. And, you know, the beauty about Chattanooga, which is a little different than Greenville, is we're sitting here in between an hour and a half from Atlanta, you know, Birmingham, Nashville, and Knoxville, Tennessee, where the majority of our alums have gone and started their careers. So, you know, it's a car trip to be able to go and see multiple people or have an event to bring people out. And we have not done that here. And you know about the caravan, you know, the armada that East Carolina does, we need to be able to go into those communities and be able to, you know, tout our successes in the classroom, on the playing field, and be able to, you know, ask people to invest in our program. And again, in a very short time, we've had great success, and we have a high plateau of where we can go. So it's very promising.
I know with your time, I wanted to talk to you for the time we have left. I know you were the executive director of the Pirate Club Educational Foundation from 2006 to 13, and went on to do great things at Penn State. Tell us about your time, the 7 years in Greenville. What are your memories or some of the moments that you had that you're really proud of there?
Well, you know, even before that, you know, I got my undergrad degree there, and my wife got her undergrad degree there, and, you know, spent time from 96 to 2000, my first real job in this business with the Pirate Club, and went away to a couple places. But, you know, it was a great time. You know, Terry Holland was there. He hired me along with the board, you know, Skip Holtz. And again, Mac McCarthy was there to resurrect that program in his short time there. And just, you know, East Carolina is a unique place because it's, you know, I tell people in all the places I've been, from the Big Ten to, you know, wherever, is you go on a football game day in Eastern North Carolina and it's got an SEC feel. There's an electricity, you know, whether we're at our best or, you know, where we are today, which, you know, have high aspirations that they're going to turn it around. But, you know, the people there are what make it special. And the chip on the shoulder, you know, that when I was there in the 90s and even before that, you know, we need to get that chip back. You know, we do more with less, and we have a passion to be able to be the best and play the biggest stages. You know, the old Steve Logan, I'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And, you know, he started that mantra of consistently beating the big boys, and that's our BCS game. And so now we have an opportunity to be in the BCS, you know, as far as the conversation of playoffs with the American and the success that UCF has had, and, you know, Houston, and on and on and on, that it's a very, very special place. My dear friend Joe Dooley's coming back, and I feel so confident in what he's going to be able to do. He just needs some time. And, you know, Cliff Godwin was a player there when I was working there and the first time, and what Keith LeClair has taught him and instilled with him, you know, there's no, you know, no telling how quickly we're going to get to Omaha, and we will get to Omaha. But just, you know, my love for that university and the 17 years I've been there, and, you know, I'm excited that I'm actually coming to the North Carolina A&T game this year. We play on Thursday night, and we're going to ride up and enjoy that. Haven't been back in several years, but really excited, and excited for Dave Hart, who was my athletic director when I was a student there, and what he's doing to calm the waters and develop a plan to get us back to national prominence.
It's very exciting, and I know that you were generous with your time this morning. I appreciate it very much, and I'm very excited, and I'm very happy for you all the time. You know, we're always Pirates supporting Pirates, and you put your time in. You've done an excellent job wherever you've been, and I wish you the best at Chattanooga with the Mocs. In fact, I want to give that website again. It's a great website, folks, gomocs.com. Check it out. I know y'all are all over social media as well. And the Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics, Mark Wharton, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Absolutely. Anytime. Best of luck to you guys.
I really enjoyed talking to Mark Wharton. I thought he was very genuine, down to earth. I really liked what he had to say, and I think he's a guy that I don't know if he will be one of the finalists. I really don't, but I think that he definitely deserves an interview. He definitely deserves a shot, and I think he'll get that shot. And you never know what'll happen, but I want to wish him the best. And the great thing about it, he's got a great gig at Chattanooga, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say Chattanooga has certainly had its share of success through the years, especially on the hardwood. You think back to the 1990s when Terrell Owens was there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
T.O. actually played basketball for Mac McCarthy, of course, and we know Coach Mack from his days at ECU on Ricky Stokes' staff, and then, of course, as head coach, and led the Pirates to that big win over NC State and Menchie's back in, I guess it was 2007 or 2008.
Oh, that's right.
And of course, that was a memorable night, even though that NC State team wasn't, but so good. That was obviously their first trip to Greenville and certainly a memorable one. But not to get off on a tangent, Coach Mack had some tremendous teams at UTC, and he took the Mocs to the Sweet 16. So they had it. Share of success on the hardwood, especially in Mark Wharton is certainly someone who I feel sure you'll hear his name mentioned, and how seriously he's considered, and that of course remains to be seen. But somebody else, I think you'll definitely hear their name mentioned. I don't know who knows whether his name will rise to the forefront or not, but he's been an assistant AD at ECU on more than one occasion, Jimmy Bass. Of course, he's the current athletic director down at UNC Wilmington.
You know, Bubba, I was thinking about the very fact of the situation with the AD. I don't know about you, but I think that we've got tremendous candidates, and I know that there are a lot of people that one of the things that's come up now is we've already heard is about how you have to have an AD to fire Coach Mo. And I saw tonight on Hoist the Colors, and I know people were thinking it, oh God, Coach Mo is going to get another year. Well, if he wins out, he will definitely be the coach. But if he, I know Steve and I go put this too on Hoist the Colors, I saw it. If he only wins two or three games, I was saying that before I saw Igo's comment. If he only wins a couple games, he's not going to be here next year. And you don't have to worry about whether we have an AD or not. Cecil Staton will take the recommendation for Dave Hart to fire Coach Mo.
Yeah, and say, enlighten me exactly what was Stephen Igo's comment. I hadn't seen it yet.
Basically, somebody they were saying on Hoist, it was a discussion about they were going to have, in other words, this was a bad thing because now that you're getting a month away from the end of the football season, Mo would keep his job because you won't have an AD. But regardless of whether we have an AD or not, you still have Cecil Staton, the chancellor, and you still have the advisor to the chancellor to make that call.
Right. I didn't know if it was something even more specific than that. But no, I mean, that definitely makes sense. And as far as that goes, I think that will be the case. Of course, Terry Holland was around when everything went down with John Thompson. But I think had he not been, this is easy to say in hindsight, but I feel certain the plug would have still been pulled. but yeah, hopefully that won't be the case. Hopefully Coach Mo and company will get it together and continue to make our strides on the defensive side of the ball, protect the ball offensively, and find a way to win some football games and play good football these last five games of the season. And who knows, maybe really shock people and still find a way to win four out of five and go to a bowl game.
That would be great, but we'll have to wait and see. The last month is going to – I'm glad that they are – let me be clear that I'm glad that we've moved on. And the one good thing about this, we have clarity now, and kind of like it's that uncertainty is going to become more certain because now we're going to have an AD. And how about this scenario? This is what I was thinking about the other day. How about this scenario for you, Bubba? You're going to have in 2019, more than likely, a new athletic director, okay? You're going to have a new women's basketball coach, a Southside project, and possibly a new football coach all in the same year. So the ECU saga, hopefully, this long soap opera we've had will have end as far as the saga off the field stuff will and on the field as well. But hopefully 2019, I think, is going to be a breakout year for us.
Yeah, listen, let's hope so. Pirate Nation, of course, we're well known for our passionate fan base, and And so hopefully a lot of our programs, and like we said, I mean, we've had our success beyond just baseball, and I definitely think we will moving forward. But hopefully the sports that are even more visible and even more the front porch of the university, like the football and men's basketball program, hopefully, yeah.
We've got a special, hang on, let me punch the button up here. We got a special caller. I think we have, is this Kyle from LaGrange? Barbara, are you on the line?
Kyle from LaGrange, in the middle of moving in between Kinston and LaGrange in the pickup truck with my wife and two dogs and a whole load of mess.
He's trying to outrun the Lenore County paparazzi.
I'm trying to. It looks like I'm on the run from the law. I got my two dogs here with me. I got a big lab German Shepherd mix. I got my wife and I got my Rossi 357 laying here on the dash with a load of stuff in the back. It looks like I'm on the run from somebody.
Well, Kyle, let me ask you a question. Is there any way that you can pretend you're on the fifth quarter on Pirate Radio, and are you going to cut a promo right now? Because I know we don't have a lot of time with
you. What do you want me to cut a promo on? I can cut a promo on moving.
We were talking about this podcast being with the AD situation, how it was a terrible decision to put out a press release when you have a men's basketball media day, when you have a coach that's great.
Look, they should have done this the other day. This was decided the other day,
right?
Obviously, at the Board of Trustees meeting. And the reason they didn't do it then, the reason they didn't make a formal announcement then, I'm assuming was just out of pure ego, because the media was waiting for it and the fans were waiting for it. That would be my assumption. Now, it is possible that they had to cross some T's and dot some I's on who was on the committee. But I get what you're saying. You're saying it's overshadowing basketball media day. That's probably not going to make Joe Dooley too happy. But it kind of is what it is. They needed to get the announcement out there. You know, a good time they got the announcement that they had started the search committee for an AD. That would have probably been a good time to get that announcement out. Would have probably been, I don't know, probably like June.
I was talking about it should have been in July, like 3 months ago.
It should have been a while ago. Now you're in a situation where will we get an AD hired before the end of football season? You would hope so. That way, if we have to make a change of head coach, you have Dave Hart and the new AD do it together. That would be the ideal situation. Right. But that's the question. I don't think it should take that long to decide who our new AD is going to be, because I think it should be Scott Weatherby. But obviously, there's going to be lots of candidates. You're going to have lots of people interested in the job. But what it needs to be is somebody that understands the culture of East Carolina, understands – they don't have to be a pirate. They don't have to have been here before like a Scott Weatherby or like a Jeff Barber. But you need somebody that fits the culture of East Carolina that gets it.
Yeah. Well, we went out and did that the last hire, where we didn't have anybody non-EC related, because those wonderful donors pushed out Terry Holland.
No, Comfort. But you know what, the Bubba, Terry, or David rather, whoever the hell you are, Terry Holland wasn't EC related. They don't have to be EC related if they're the right fit. And Dave Hart, you would hope, would know the right fit. Who else is on the committee, guys? I didn't even pay attention to that.
Right. And Kyle, just to expand on your point as far as they don't have to be EC-related, I absolutely agree. And as far as Terry Holland goes, he's a guy that had that AD experience at, of course, UVA, but also Davidson, his alma mater. He was from Clinton, correct?
Correct.
So.
Who is on the search committee? Have y'all talked about that already?
Yeah, we have.
We did.
Okay. Can you run it by me real fast? Or?
Yeah, just one moment. It was one of the most notable ones is head baseball coach Cliff Godwin.
Okay, that's good.
And
Dave Hart.
And J.J. McClam. Rosie Thompson, who's a former senior associate AD and student athlete. Let's see, Tim Martin, president of the Pirate Club, Carl Rogers, past president of the Pirate Club, Sarah Thorndike, vice chancellor for administration and finance,
Kyle Barber,
Vern Davenport, member of the ECU Board of Trustees, partner at NovaQuest Capital, a former ECU student athlete, Lakeisha Austin Forbes, associate provost for equity and diversity, and Jeff Popke, chair of faculty and professor of geography in the School of Arts and Sciences.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Mark Copeland, member of the ECU Board of Trustees and managing partner for Ernst & Young. And Cal Christian, professor of accounting in the College of Business and faculty athletic rep of the Pirate Club.
Okay, I'm good with some of them. Some of them I'm not so sure why they're on the committee. Some of them I wish weren't on the committee. But by and large, it's okay.
It's a political correctness thing, Kyle.
Yeah, well, by you know how I am about being politically correct.
You're always
politically
correct. What are you talking
about? I'm all for that. Politically correct and kiss my ass. I'm just, look, at this point, I guess better late than never is the best reaction you can give it, and what you hope for is the right hire. And you hope Cecil has the least to do with it as possible, and he lets Dave Hart kind of handle the thing, you know, along with some of the other people like Coach Godwin. You know, you would figure Dave Hart and Cliff Godwin should be able to make a good decision on AD. I'd be okay if it was just those two.
Yeah, I was going to say a good friend of mine, Stephen Asby, who actually works for ECU and sits near me at the football games. We chat quite a bit, but he put a tweet out there, something along those lines, talking about Cliff Godwin being the most important person on that committee, in his opinion.
No, I mean, he's a successful coach. He's very knowledgeable about athletics, period. He loves the university. Cliff's a guy that, you know, when I think of his personality and, you know, you hear him in interviews, he gets big picture. And he's a guy that I actually think has the ability down the road to be an athletic director if he wants to go down that path, you know, many years from now. Cliff.
He wins a couple titles for us, right?
Yeah, exactly. It could be 20 years or so, you know. Cliff, I like that he's on the committee, and Dave, obviously, Hart, he obviously, you know, knows a thing or two about being ADs.
I think JJ McClam being on there is very good as well. Obviously he's had two different stints at ECU with a brief stint at UNLV mixed in. And I know, according to some things I heard from some very reliable sources, that when everything was going down and Cliff was being pursued by Alabama after the 2016 Super Regional appearance, and of course, he ended up turning that down, obviously. But I had heard that early on in those talks that we weren't exactly putting our best foot forward and doing the things that we needed to do to take care of Cliff, so to speak. And
with Jeff Comper in charge, imagine that.
I heard JJ, and this may not is just what I heard, and I heard JJ was very influential in going to Jeff Comper and saying, hey, we better do this, this, and this, or Cliff's gone.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, and I'm glad JJ did that. Hey, interesting. Lee Workman isn't on the search committee. Do you think that means he's a candidate for the job?
He wants to be a candidate.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would have definitely been my guess, because otherwise you would certainly think he would be on there.
Okay. Well, nothing against Lee Workman. But I hope we bring in somebody else. And that's not an insult to Lee Workman. I mean, it may come across that way, but it's not. So who are candidates, guys? I mean, obviously, we hope Weatherby's a candidate. You figure Jeff Barber's a candidate. Any other names being bantered about? I'm sure I'm sure Iga, if he hadn't got a list up, he'll have one up by tomorrow.
I went ahead and on Iga's thread about that, I went ahead and put the five names up there. But I know there's many more. But as far as EC related, I put up there Weatherby, Barber, George Kuntz, Mark Wharton, and Leek Workman, because I knew Leek Workman will be a candidate. And he has, I think he definitely deserves an interview and to his name to be in the mix, so to speak. And so he's been a great pirate. He's one of those paid pirates that actually doesn't make you mad. He does a lot of hard work. He's the kind of guy that rolls up his sleeves behind the scenes. He's the kind of behind the scenes kind of guy.
Right.
So I think he does, like, he's been there 34 years. And obviously the last five have been really rough for him. But something like 1984, I believe, is when Lee came to, from Tennessee Tech, came to ECU. So definitely appreciate him and everything he's done and deserves to be at the sit at the table, so to speak.
Sure, he deserves an interview, absolutely. I mean, again, I'd prefer us to go get Scott Weatherby. But
right.
nothing against Lee Workman. To me, the whole damn thing is, if you wanted to make Lee Workman AD, you should have went ahead and made Lee Workman AD. So that's my
point. I think what it is that they, and people are putting this up on Hoist, that they should have had it. In other words, what should have happened is they should have given Dave Hart a timeline on when, you know, by July 1st, if you haven't made a decision, we've got to do a search committee.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be doing it right now. You know, you just wonder how soon we can have somebody in place. Is there a timetable? Is there a timetable to have it done by Thanksgiving? You know, I who knows?
You need to have it done by the beginning of December, because you would like to have Dave Hart with the new AD coming in to, if they're going to make that a change. The coaching change. Dave Hart's contract ends December 15th. You don't want to wait to December 15th to make a decision on the.
Oh God! And now do we run into the whole? Well, we're going to let the new AD evaluate things, and then we're going to get Scotty for another year, no matter what.
And that's the whole thing as far as the timing.
Hopefully, were we doing it that way on purpose, Bubba? I didn't mean to cut you off. Are we doing this just to give so we can have an excuse to give Scotty another year?
That's what a lot of people think on Hoist. I'll go ahead and tell the people listening now. If you're a member of HoistTheColors.net with Stephen Igo, that's what they're saying on Hoist.
Well, if that's the case, don't bite people. Let your voice be heard. Dave Hart said he's being evaluated by 40,000 people. We don't need a new AD to evaluate him. We've made the evaluation. Fire him. Let the new AD hire the new head coach. I mean, it's you know, he don't turn things around the second half of the year. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't care who the AD is. If we go 2-10, 3-9, even 4-8, I'm not buying season tickets for next year. I don't care. I don't care if Jesus Christ is the AD. It doesn't matter. Need somebody without showing more than marginal improvement.
Yeah, we had literally, you think about it, year one was what, you know, everybody was talking about hope. And we started out with the two games, Western Carolina, and you have Western Carolina and NC State. You go to the South Carolina game, that's when the wheels come off. So the first year was kind of hope. And then you look at the second year, and we heard all about the grad transfers and the JUCOs, and it was the microwave where we microwave the team and we're going to be better. And lo and behold, we were way worse. Come in year three, and we hear it's always the third year for the coach at the Pirates. It's Bill Lewis's third year, Steve Logan's third year, blah, blah. All these coaches, it's their third year. Well, for the third year for Scotty Moe has not turned out that way as the formula was shelled out by a lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. The Memphis game coming up to me is the make or break game for Montgomery. If he can beat Memphis, he'll have a chance to get to what I think he would need to, you know, keep his job, and that's five wins, which I think he should have to get to six, but whatever. If he you beat Memphis, he might be able to get to five. If you don't beat Memphis, you stick a fork in him. He's done. Next year is just a wasted year if they bring him back. So
that will, let me say this to the folks that listen on the War Building, and you don't even have to listen to our podcast to figure this out. If you do not fire Scotty Montgomery, and let's say, like Kyle was talking about, we have the current two wins, so they don't win another game, and you go 2-10.
Or 3-9. If he goes 3-9, or even 4-8.
Right.
I don't want 4-8. That doesn't excite me in year three.
No. And so what I'm saying is you get anywhere between. I think the only way he keeps his job, honestly, we have 5 wins. I really do. 5 is
and maybe
low
if
we're
number 4 is over NC State, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Guys, I'm going to have to, as I abruptly entered the podcast, I'm going to have to abruptly exit the podcast because it's time to unload.
All right.
So
well, please don't shoot anybody. Hey, don't shoot anybody.
Yeah, well, and, I didn't mean unload my gun.
Okay.
All right, guys, go Pirates.
Now, everybody, turn the podcast off.
Over and out. Well, at least you know what this was like, Bubba. You were too young to remember this. But this was like Smokey and the Bandit 3. Burt Reynolds didn't want to do the movie. They had him. They paid him a whole bunch of money to do like 2 scenes. And it was way better. Our podcast is way better than Smokey and the Bandit 3. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but just the fact that Kyle from LaGrange was in the podcast for just a little bit. But at least he came on, and appreciate him. He's a great teammate and a great friend as well.
Yeah.
I tell you what, while we have a chance, let's bring in our – I think it's a good time to bring in our next guest. What do you think?
Yeah, earlier I said that we're going to be talking to Ken Burnett, the linebacker on the 1991 team. He, of course, was there 1987 through 1991. That's when, unfortunately, he got hurt in the Peach Bowl and had to watch the amazing comeback, Pirates rallying from 34-17 down to top the Wolfpack down in Atlanta. But he was a tremendous impact player on that team, even though Robert Jones understandably got a lot of the credit with everything he accomplished. But Ken was an excellent player in his own right, and George Koontz acknowledged that in the interview that we had on our most recent podcast prior to this one. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk to Ken Burnett. He does a tremendous job in this interview.
The Pirate Football Nostalgia Party, we have another great player now with us. Ken Burnett played in the late 80s and early 90s for the Pirates. Ken, thank you so much for being with us.
Dave, my pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely wanted to. We were talking about great memories, and I know you were part of a very special season in 91, but I want to get your take on the Pirates, and certainly you were in the, I believe, the Bill Lewis era, right?
That's correct. I came in under Art Baker, and then Coach Lewis took over, and I finished up my senior year there as part of the Peach Bowl team. So great little run we finished with.
Wanted to ask you from get your perspective on things as far as back then with that Art Baker, the 1986 season is when I became a Pirate fan. I was actually a teenager and at FCA Day, a great man, and I want to get your take on Art Baker.
Coach Baker, awesome guy, and really has a special place for me. I walked on at East Carolina. And I met with Coach Baker after that very first season. I was there as a true freshman, and Coach Baker committed to me that if I made the travel team the following year, then he would give me a scholarship. And he was a man of his word, held true to that, gave me a scholarship, which really allowed me to not worry so much about paying for school and just focus on school and football. And it was awesome. And I can't thank him enough. And I've seen him a couple of times since then and just thank him for that and the opportunity that he provided for me.
And unfortunately, I know people have talked about that, about starting out with that during that time period being that East Carolina was not in the conference. They're an independent. I remember the slogan, the marketing campaign. We're going after the best, and what a tough schedule. That may have hurt Coach Baker, don't you think?
I did. You know, we kind of had this philosophy, we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And you know, which you have to do to build a program and gain some recognition, especially back the way things were structured at that time. But, yeah, no doubt, you know, it's all about wins. And when you're playing top 25 teams on a regular basis, those were tough to come by back in the day. So there's no doubt that, you know, that probably hurt Coach Baker in the long run, what we were trying to do from a program perspective.
I remember being on the field, and, man, oh, man, that was so great. And, again, 1986, and he spent time with us, probably at least 30 minutes, a group of kids there from – teenagers from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and told lots of great stories. Just a great man, and I'll never forget that. And he's the reason why that particular day and the crowd, the atmosphere of Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, why I became a Pirate fan and eventually went to East Carolina. I wanted to ask you about your experience for playing at – I've been asking a lot of players, but I want to get your take on what was it like playing at Dowdy Ficklin. I know it was 35,000 at the time, and now it's 50, but – what a great atmosphere, right?
Oh, it's an unbelievable atmosphere, and today it's I couldn't imagine being on the team today and having an opportunity to play in front of the crowd that is there every Saturday. But back then, you know, like you said, 35,000 people, but it seemed a lot larger because especially there in that 90-91 season there where things were really clicking for us and we filled it up every week and plus some with some bleachers in the end zone, some standing room tickets. It was an electric atmosphere. And especially, you know, I think back to the big win we had against Pittsburgh there at home and just the place was going bananas. It was crazy. And you know, for us, guys that had been there 4 and 5 years like me and had gone through some pretty rough seasons where the stands weren't as full as maybe we'd have liked them to be in, It was awesome and so rewarding to see, you know, the fans out there in full force, and not only for us, but for them to have an opportunity to be a part of something because East Carolina fans are passionate. And that's one awesome thing about that place and special about that place. And, you know, to have an opportunity to give back to them, you know, something that they so deserve because they're so loyal was awesome from a player's perspective.
Especially when you think, you know, you made a very good point. It's kind of like I consider you guys like the beginning of the modern era of what we're dealing with now. And you guys took the program to a level that we'd never seen before. And it was it was kind of like a script. It was like a beginning of a movie being 87. You're having some tough times. And then, man, if you talk about football, it's like the football version of Mount Everest, right? To go 11-1, ninth in the country, to be playing a team, as I talked to Coach Schenkweiler the other day, doing an interview with him, and he's talking about the very first game he coached for against was NC State with a quote-unquote riot game in 1987, and then mm-hmm. You had Raleigh, and then the very end of his run there when he left with Bill Lewis to go to Georgia Tech, he's there in Atlanta coaching against the same team the very last game of the first stint he had. So it was amazing for to have that run, right, for NC State.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize that, but my tenure mirrors Coach Schenkweiler there. I came in 87. I was a freshman, the very first game. I wasn't a part of it. Obviously, I was sitting back in Greenville listening to it on the radio in the dorm. But that's the very first game for me as a Pirate. And then the bookend of that was the Peach Bowl there in Atlanta versus State again. So, yeah, it's, you know, looking back on it, like you say, it's kind of an Everest deal where we started, came a long way, and kind of ended at the pinnacle there.
I know that didn't you get hurt in the Peach Bowl game itself? I don't want to bring that up, but I know that it was tough maybe being on the sidelines and you had to watch the very end of that game.
I did. That, you know, that's part of it, unfortunately, at times. Broke my arm. Ended up having to have a little surgery on it to get that healed up. But, you know, it was I got to come back out. I was in my civilian clothes, if you will, and watched the second half. But, you know, Tony Davis came in, did an awesome job there filling in at the time. And, you know, it was awesome. I hated the fact that I wasn't on the field. But at the same time, I celebrate with my teammates. I support them. And just, you know, to be a part of that was unbelievable that day.
You know, I remember I had to, as an East Carolina fan, my best friend's uncle is an NC State graduate, and he got us tickets, and we're sitting there watching the game, and we're both East Carolina fans in the NC State section watching that game, and I'll never forget how the state fans were like, acting like, we got this, and I'm just like, there's got to be, you know, I'm the guy that until there's triple zeros on the scoreboard, I'm not giving up, and to see you guys come back, it was just like a movie. It's one of those games that when my kids are a little bit older, they're learning about sports now, I'll be able to tell them about that special game and that I was there.
Yeah, you know, that really that game mirrored our whole season. There was something about that team that just, no matter what situation we were in, there was this belief that, you know, we're not in a hole too deep that we can't get out of. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, the huddle before every snap, we talked about down and distance. We talked about situation, and it was always a positive vibe. Look, guys, let's get a stop. Let's get off the field. Let's get the offense the ball here. And that was so different than years past. I don't know what it was, the chemistry of the players or what, but there was just a different feeling. And we never felt like, you know, this is over. You know, that feeling never – even at Illinois, that very first game of the year, you know, when it ended, we knew there's something different about this team. I mean, nobody verbalized it really. But everybody knew deep down, we got something special here. And then it just clicked throughout the year. I mean, it was a game after game. I don't think we blew hardly anybody out. Maybe one or two games that we won by a couple scores. But for the most part, we grounded out, we believed. And, you know, we made things happen and got the W's at the end. It was just a kind of a surreal deal throughout the year.
I wanted to ask you about the one of the best linebackers ever, Robert Jones. What you were on the deep. What do you think about what was it like to play with Robert?
I get that question a lot, and it was awesome. I mean, it was liberating to play with Robert, because Robert was unbelievable as a linebacker. He was smart. Obviously, he had the physical skills that were off the chart. That's why he played so many years in the NFL. But he was a good dude, too. We roomed together on the road. But the thing about, I could play without fear of making a mistake, because I knew that if I made a mistake, Robert was good enough to cover it up. Now, it would show up on film, and I'd get chastised in the film room on it. But as far as on the field on Saturdays, nobody knew it, because Robert made the play anyway. So playing with Robert, to me, was awesome. You know, a lot of people talked about, well, you're in his shadow, and I'm good with that. You know, I was happy to be in Robert's shadow, because, you know, he deserved what he got. And Robert's an awesome guy, good friend of mine, awesome player. But, you know, it was, to me, very freeing to play there, and I could just do my thing and knew that he had my back.
That's one position that I don't think gets the credit it deserves. With my one of my favorite positions on the field, linebacker, because it's an important part of the defense, and I love the defensive side of the ball. Of course, it's great to see people score points. It's really hard to see a really good defense. I think it takes a special person to play defense. But I wanted to ask you, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, what are you up to today, and since your playing days with the Pirates?
Well, let's see. I'm married, coming up on 20 years, to my bride, Kimberly, and we have two awesome boys when they're asleep. I like to tell people they're awesome when they're asleep.
I tell my wife about it.
They are they're upcoming freshmen at Lake Norman Charter here in Huntersville. We live in Davidson. I'm in cybersecurity sales, so that's an interesting space to be in these days. But really, I'm just trying to be, at this time, a great dad to them boys, a great husband to Kimberly. You know, we're pretty heavily involved in our church and our community, and I love the Pirates. You know, we don't get down to Greenville as much as we like, because the boys have a pretty busy schedule. They're lacrosse and basketball guys, and that keeps us kind of busy. But, you know, we get down there once or twice a year and try to catch maybe – we went up to West Virginia, caught a game on the road last year. So, you know, staying busy with them, doing what, you know, husbands and dads do all over the world. So, you know, nothing real special about it.
I was going to ask you, Ken, if they were both football players and we could get them to commit to East Carolina.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. They have dabbled in it, but they have not embraced the game, and I'm cool with that. You know, I want them to do what they want to do.
Right.
But they really do. They love lacrosse, and one of them has on his Instagram page that he is a 2 Maryland lacrosse commit. You know, so they got their mind on other things other than football.
Well, I've learned that with my kids, let them do what they want to do, and if they want to do it, great, but they are starting their sports career out, and hopefully they have a long sports career, but if not, I will support them. Being their dad, I will support them, whatever they do. It's great to hear, you know, I've said this a lot with the players, you'd never know what happened to all these players, and it's been many years since I know from the Peach Bowl your playing days, but thank you so much for giving great memories. You're the reason why we believe, and you're a lot of great players on that team, and certainly you built something special, and that's why we're doing the show tonight, is to honor great people, and not only that, but great players on the field and off, and good luck to you, and certainly I hope that you'll keep in touch with us, and definitely go Pirates.
Absolutely, Dave. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
What a great job with Ken Burdett. He was – we did the interview before the – full disclosure, before the podcast party we did for Nostalgia Party, and he was going to call in, but he didn't think he would do a good job. And you can clearly hear, folks, he did a tremendous job and very personal, very charming guy, and definitely proud to call him a Pirate. And hopefully he still loves the podcast. He said he liked it, and definitely we're going to get back in touch with him, let him know the interview's been played. And we could spend the whole podcast just on Ken Burnett about how great he is. So maybe that's something we can do in the future, is take one player and get their teammates' thoughts. That'll be kind of fun. What do you think, Bubba?
Yeah, like
maybe
you. Yeah, like you so often hear. These guys, the bond that they build during their years together,
yeah.
It's one that's not broken. And then we've heard it, like, in the last 2 or 3 weeks we had on Terry Gallagher prior to the Houston game, and he
right.
was talking about how he still talks to so many of his teammates, and whether it's Eddie Hicks or
Leander Green,
yeah,
Tony Collins,
and so many of them, and he's in contact with those guys all the time, whether it's on the phones, social media, and that sort of thing. So it's a bond that even though you may not see each other, you're still brothers, and you're still keeping
right.
up with each other and what's going on in each other's lives. And and we heard that from players from various eras. And
Terry Gallagher. Terry, he's listening to this podcast. I'm going to call you back. I promise, Terry. We played phone tag today, so I'm calling you back. He'll get a good laugh of that. He said that we cheered him up, and appreciate him very much for coming out. We're going to get him back on. He was a tremendous analyst, and even gave us a breakdown about how Cecil State came to ECU. So we'll have him back on, and certainly before this football season's over, and maybe for another reason, but we're not going to get into that tonight. We'll talk about the special podcast event. We'll be announcing that very soon. But, Bubba, we've got other announcements I want to mention, too. And I'm going to tell you what we're working on so that people will know. We're actually going to have a very special for the folks that love the 1983 team. I think we can go ahead and announce it because it's going to happen. I want to give a shout-out to Chuck Nethercutt, who is helping us out, helping Bubba, Kyle, and I out, kind of like herding cats and rallying the troops. And we're going to have a special in December to honor the 1983 team 35th anniversary. I can't believe it, Bubba. But we're going to have that one and another one, which we'll be talking about at some point. And we're going to try to see if we can get folks for the 2008 team, right, Bubba, the Conference USA Championship team?
Yeah, of course, this is the 10-year anniversary of that team. Of course, that team started the year with a bang and just overcame just an unbelievable amount of injuries and adversity after that start. After the 3-0 start and being ranked 15th,
Quentin Conwin, though, right?
Yeah. Quentin Cotton went down in that game three down at the Superdome. He had a tremendous ball game, returned a blocked field goal. It seems like it was for a touchdown. Or maybe it was a pick six. I don't remember, but he had a touchdown, I know, in that ball game. And then after that, we lost to NC State, lost to Houston, lost to UVA, but then came back strong. And then, I guess won six straight prior to the loss to Kentucky in the Liberty Bowl. And then of course that Conference USA championship game that year when we won out at Tulsa, we were big underdogs and forced like six or seven turnovers and pulled the upset over the Golden Hurricane.
Yeah, that was – so those are some of the stuff we'll have obviously coming up. That'll be in December so that we have that. But in the closer future, we actually have we were at Media Day today, so we had that. I want to mention that before we leave. And Joe Dooley was tremendous. We've got interviews with Joe Dooley, several players. We also have, Davis Searcy of the Menjies Maniacs. That's going to come up next Tuesday. We have a special basketball preview for East Carolina. And then we also have one, Bubba, it's great for the national guests, too. We got in the national scene as well.
Yeah, that's what on opening day, or opening night, I should say, for ECU men's basketball November 6th. That Tuesday, we're going to have Jimmy Dykes, Michael DeCourcy, and Nate Ross. Jimmy Dykes is, of course, with the SEC Network and ESPN. Michael DeCourcy is with Big Ten Network and also a writer with the Sporting News. And Nate Ross has been anybody who's watched East Carolina's basketball games on ESPN3 in recent years, especially during the non-conference portion of things, but those some of the league games as well that aren't on other ESPN television platforms. You have and just a tremendous job he does as a color analyst. He's a former Division I coach at App State, the Citadel, and maybe some other places. But
and he's tremendous. He has the same barber as I do, so that bald head.
He wears the patented bow tie.
That's right. I forgot about the bow tie. That's the only thing he and I are different on is I'm not a bow tie guy, but that's okay.
And you're talking, Dave, as far as obviously the players that you caught up with at today's media day, and you can imagine some of the ones that we talked to. But then also we're going to be talking with some of the players from the past, some from the Joe Dooley era when he was here from '91 to '95 as an assistant, and then '95 to '99 as head coach, and then some of the guys that played for him in those years, and then also some guys from the Jeff Lebo era, like maybe Paris Roberts Campbell, Prince Williams, and some others.
It's going to be tremendous, and what people need to do is just like our Facebook page. We'll mention that again. You can actually go on Twitter at sports. Listen to me at the sports OBJ. Bubba, I know Instagram is the Sports Objective. We're on Tumblr, the Sports Objective. We've got so many that we're pretty much everywhere, right?
Yep, pretty much all social media. We don't have a Snapchat, but other than that, all the social media
we even have a MySpace page.
Yeah, but something else I forgot to mention as far as men's basketball is concerned. Of course, there was an excellent article released today on hoistthecolors.net. Steve and I go talking about the, quote, secret scrimmage, not so much a secret, but ECU faced off against the NC State in Raleigh over the weekend in an exhibition, but a scrimmage. And Pirates struggled early on in dealing with NC State's pressure. But then as the game wore on, we settled in and the chemistry started to develop and that kind of thing. First time out, and Coach Dooley said there were some things that NC State threw at us, like I knew they would, that we weren't the most prepared for the way we will be going forward. And so, hey, at least you see what you get. And Coach Dooley, someone who's not going to sugarcoat things, who's going to accept blame, and who's a first-class guy and first-class coach. But this weekend, we're going to have a, quote, secret scrimmage, closed scrimmage against Wake Forest. They're coming to Menjis. So it'll be interesting to see what we hear about that game. But one of the things that really stood out, I made note of this in that article that Stephen Igo has on Hoist of Colors, was a quote that Isaac Fleming had. He was just talking about the shape they're in, and that's such a big deal has been made of that. And Isaac Fleming was just talking about as that game wore on, it was just obvious that they were in better shape than NC State was. And he was talking about how real the grind's been, and just they're looking so forward to November 6th when they start to count, and just getting in Menjis and putting on a show for Pirate Nation.
It's going to be tremendous. I can't wait for it. And get your tickets, folks. 1-800-DIAL-ECU, and you can go online, ecupirates.com. Get your tickets. I did. Won't be able to go to all the games, but I did it to support Coach Joe Dooley. Believe in him. He was hired April 4th, my birthday present early. Great hire by Dave Hart and Cecil Staten. And now it's time to do the same thing for AD, women's coach, and maybe we'll see about the football coach. We have a month left to see if that's how that's going to play out. All right, Bubba. Well, Kyle's already signed off, over and out, and now it's time for us to get some sleep. I hope you have a great evening. Get some rest. We've got a great big weekend, and hopefully we know we're not going to lose on Saturday, and we'll definitely give you more podcasts between now and next week, as we have a lot of content, and we'll give that while folks are waiting for the next game, right?
Yeah, on Sunday, that's what we'll have a podcast with Jay Sonhalter. We'll reflect back on what was on Saturday in college football and talk about some of the biggest games, like the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, at least is what I still refer to as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party between Georgia and Florida, even if it's not technically called that anymore. That should be a tremendous game, and then so many other ones on the slate as well. And like, as far as we're concerned with the American Athletic Conference, like Navy has a big opportunity to upset number 3 Notre Dame, and then you also have Houston hosting number 21 USF. But and we'll be joined again by Jay Sonhalter to take a look at that. And then other than that, just the App State Georgia Southern game just finished up. It was 34-14.
Wow.
Georgia Southern taking down number 25 App State, and they did lead by 34-7 before App State scored with about 10 seconds left.
Well, it's disappointing there for App State fans, but definitely their first time in the top 25, so they'll be out on Monday. But we'll any breaking news at once, we'll have emergency podcast. Until next time, I'm Dave Richmond, along with Bubba Rosenbaum and Kyle from LaGrange Barber for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.